Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Colin.
A really crazy story that apparently just happened 2 weeks ago, but feels like way longer ago. I don't know why. There are these two parents, the parents of Ethan Crumbly, which is a hilarious last name for some reason. It just sounds like somebody in like a children's story, like a goose tale, Mother Goose Tale or something. So Ethan Crumbly is a mass murderer and he's dead. But it's another situation where, well, they got to jail someone. They have to punish someone, which the justice system is always pumping out, you know, different cases like this where like, well, the actual criminal is dead in this case, or in Africa, in Ian Freeman's case. So, but we have to punish someone because we feel bad for other people. Well, Ethan Crumbly's parents got sent to 10 to 15 years in prison, I think it is.
Yeah, for manslaughter, right?
Oh, okay. That's what me and Colin were wondering before the show. Like, what was the charge? And I had heard, but I didn't actually read this, but I had heard that it's all because they were like, oh, well, you were bad parents. So since you were neglectful parents and then your kid shot up a school, you should personally be charged.
Yeah, that's the kid that they bought him a gun for his Christmas present or his birthday present. And they didn't get a mental health help. And so everyone decided that they're guilty of killing the people that their son killed.
That's so crazy. Mm-hmm. This is just proof.
I blame the person they got their breakfast from that morning, too. Might as well. In fact, anybody who knows them should just all go to jail. The whole town should go to jail.
The gun manufacturers,
The gun manufacturers, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I really think that you could get a lot of the American public to agree with at least some of the people in that scenario. Like, oh, the people they bought their breakfast from, maybe not, but like their neighbors. Because my sister...
So wait, was it in a school that it happened?
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, well, why don't they throw the principal in jail? I mean, he obviously had an unsafe building that anybody could go into like that.
Yeah,
yeah, that's manslaughter.
It's like the same line of thinking. My
negligence.
Sister, she's really crazy, and she's always going to the cops, and she's like schizophrenic. She's gone to the cops about me, and like they're just like, we can't do anything about this story. You
Runs
seem like
family?
You're making up. No? And so one thing that she does is she makes up these stories, so she'll be like, yeah, this kid was sexually assaulted at my church, like, it's completely made up in her head, as far as I know. And then she'll start contacting the work of other people that went to the church in 2012 at the same time as her and be like, you knew this was happening. I know this girl went to the same church as me, and she knew this sexual assault was happening by this other kid. You need to fire her. No, that is exactly what she does. So people, like, there are really dumb people all over the United States that would get on that jury. And then they would say, yeah, they're guilty too. I'm pretty sure because, I mean, my sister's not, she's just like an average person, but just maybe a little more crazy. So and the thing is, like, if you're really crazy enough and you want to be on a jury and you're dumb, they'll put you on the jury because they want those wild cards that will do whatever they want them to.
They want
know,
people
do.
Who are emotionally manipulatable so that it becomes a competition between the prosecutor and the defense attorney as to who could, because if it's a matter of the facts, you actually might have more cases being determined properly.
Yep.
But you know, people are who are dumb and emotional, it turns it more into a game.
And that's what I was saying, like, about Ian's trial. When I gave that speech in Chicago, I went to a conference in Chicago and gave a speech about Ian's trial. Well, I was saying it's like so clear to me that these trials are not like a fact-finding mission. It's not like, oh, well, let's get down to the bottom of this and whatever the truth is, that's what the jury should know about. No, like, it's exactly what Colin was saying. Both sides are just trying to make the most, you know, just appeal to the jury's emotions. And it's like all a show. And it's like kind of like, you know, you go with the side that you like the most. It's so stupid.
The thought of even having a jury of random people decide my fate is terrifying.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked to people and hear their opinions? Like, a lot of them are really bad.
Lori just loves people, like the general public. So.
Oh, yeah, I do.
She goes to Walmart and she just loves them all.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's already terrifying enough. But it's worse when you consider the fact that the people who, like, may be sympathetic to you are going to get kicked off. Because the jury, I mean, the prosecution also has the quote unquote right to kick off a certain amount of jurors, which is like absolutely crazy. They're not the one on trial. These trials are set up as if the prosecution's like record is just as important to protect as your innocence or you know, your life, because your life is getting taken away.
Go ahead.
If they want the death penalty, they'll ask the jurors how they feel about the death penalty. And if they say I'm against it, they'll just kick them off the jury.
Yeah.
Which seems extremely biased and like that shouldn't be allowed.
It is. There was actually a bill introduced, but it didn't pass even the House. In New Hampshire, I was reviewing bills for NHLA. And there was this one really bad bill introduced in New Hampshire maybe like 2 years ago, because I didn't do it this year, that would make it to where if you had a gun in your house and your kid took the gun and even threatened someone else with it, or someone else could claim that they were scared by the gun, then the parents could get in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, probably definitely if the kid... It's probably already a rule that if the kid went, like a child grabbed your gun and it's not secured, and then went and did something, that the parents could get in trouble for that. But this was even just like if somebody else saw the gun and was scared or felt threatened, then, but it didn't even pass the House or anything.
Yeah. Well, the Democrats of this state are always bringing up like really crazy stuff like that that fits into national narratives, but has no chance of passing here.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the voters in this state should be aware that like these people don't represent anybody at all. They represent a groupthink from the national level. And that's why they're always pushing things that will like never pass. I mean, just think, like, this state doesn't even have a seatbelt law. So if it doesn't even have a seatbelt law, why would it have a law like this, you know?
Yeah, and I think that the Democrats are the ones that do that the most, where they're just basically putting in things. Because even Dave Ridley, I don't know where he got this exact number or anything, but in fact, I don't even know the exact number. But Dave Ridley will always say that there's some certain amount of money that it costs the taxpayer every time a state rep even puts a bill in. So imagine like putting in all these bills that you know won't pass just to make yourself look cool on a national level to other Democrats, and it costs the taxpayer.
How's it cost them? I mean, there's money that the legislature spends doing.
But there's like people that actually write the bills, and they have to spend time on that
administrative.
Yeah, but
work.
they would fill up all their time anyways. I mean, they'd always be proposing something. So I don't know if you could really. Properly, this is more of a philosophical argument about whether you can charge.
You're just assuming that they would make the same amount of bills otherwise.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they would.
It's not like there's some kind of bill quota. I mean, have to fill the same amount.
No, but they fill up their whole entire, like, I want to say docket with stuff that they're going to talk about and argue about. It's not like they ever, like,
no, but you're not
they
even
never
listening
finish. They never finish and, like,
called,
leave early. You know what I'm saying?
You're thinking of something else, though, because I'm talking about, like, on top of the legislature, there are the people who write the bills. So like you're like, I want to put in a bill that bans fishing. And there are different people that aren't the New Hampshire state representatives. And it's their job to like take all these. So they have a piece of paper that says, okay, Colin wants to ban fishing. And then they have to write that up and do research.
No, I get that. But I'm sure those people are probably like salary. Like okay, so I get is that there's a number like, oh, we have this branch of the government and it costs us like $1 million or whatever the number is. And then take that number, divide that by the number of bills. That's the cost per bill. But that doesn't mean
really
that
did.
Like if
You'd
a bill gets
that.
Submitted, they're like, oh, now we have to spend extra. I just think
you'd have to ask Dave Ridley where he got the number. He might even call in.
Dave, call in and answer this question or you're never going to be allowed on here again.
Oh, my goodness. Well, either way.
Unfree Talk Live, that's the new name.
Either way, just like getting elected just to sit around thinking of stuff that doesn't actually help the people that voted for you, and instead is just like you're putting it in just to make yourself look cool to a Democrat in New York City or whatever. It's really dumb. I mean, I'm sure that the Republicans do that too. I notice it a lot more from the Democrats.
I mean, I see them proposing stuff that, like, it's a bill that might pass in, like, California or some other place, never would here, and it's like, why are you even wasting your time? Like, you're supposed to work around the edges and then work your way in.
So, I don't even know
Wait,
how
I,
we d-
I don't
that.
Let them know that. That's a good idea.
I don't know what you even mean.
Don't let them know that that's how they're supposed to do it.
Yeah, you're supposed to start small and then work big, you know?
I don't know. I feel like there's all kinds of different, like,
they need to make it to where they can ticket people for not wearing seatbelts. You guys still don't have that. I mean, you really need that.
Oh my goodness. I kept forgetting that that was a thing in Illinois, because I'm just so used to like it not mattering. Not that I ever don't wear a seatbelt. Like, I basically always wear a seatbelt. I feel like
I wear one too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, but I don't want to be told to wear it.
Yeah, me either. But and it felt like when I was in Illinois, it kept being like, I just kept almost not wearing it, and then being like, oh yeah, I have to here, or at least it feels like you do.
I just wear it so I don't fly through the...
Well, it's nice to be able to make the decision on your own, because sometimes I'm doing like deliveries or things like that. It's like in and out, and you're in a city where you might never go faster than 35 miles an hour, and it's like the chances of this like causing a problem, but meanwhile, like buckling and unbuckling each and every time when you're in a hurry and you're rushing and you're grabbing things and you're doing all this other stuff. You know, I mean, for years, like, I think, I don't even know if UPS drivers have belts in their vehicles. They might not.
Rob from Vermont. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Rob, are you buckled up right now?
No, not yet. I don't have my seatbelt on because the car ain't running. Hey, look, I have some breaking news.
Oh, okay.
I'm over here in Claremont at the Claremont City office, where they have the town hall meetings and stuff. And I want to say probably 50 or 60 people showed up here against Representative John Stone. And they wanted him, you know, out of this district.
And he's the cop that was getting people framed, kind of, for...
No. He was the cop that threatened to shoot up police station, his chief, rape his chief's wife and child.
No, he didn't do that. He threatened to.
With a 15-year-old.
Okay, he had an inappropriate relationship with a 15-year-old, threatened to rape his chief or whatever, his wife. And
child.
And child. I thought it was like in front of his child or something. I don't know.
But anyways, the city council voted 5-3 and got him out.
Oh, so he was currently a state rep and now he is kicked off?
Well, he was kicked off of in terms of representing Claremont, and I don't think out of the state office, but he's not representing Claremont anymore.
Okay, so he was a state rep, or he wasn't a state rep, he was just a Claremont? I'm a little confused. What is he kicked off of, being a state rep?
Yes, I believe so.
Interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, if you've been listening in the last few weeks, there was somebody that called in Thursday when I had Jay Noon on, and I forgot her name. She had an English accent, but she lives in New Hampshire. And she follows this case really seriously. This guy, he was doing what I was saying. I just didn't have a good way to really quickly say what it was. His job when he was a cop was to pretend to be a 15-year-old girl on the internet and get people in trouble for stuff they otherwise weren't going to do anyway. And in my opinion, that's like maybe not framing, but like entrapment. And it's so gross. And it's like we don't... Most people shouldn't appreciate
Bonnie,
you're being really judgmental.
I mean, he just identifies that way.
Exactly. It's like you've got to be a total weirdo to want that job and like get really good at it. Like, I'm always just pretending to be a 15-year-old. Why don't they ever pretend to be 15-year-old boys? Like, what the heck? It's super creepy. Anyways, thank you for the update, Rob. That's interesting. So we've been hearing about that every once in a while. There are people in New Hampshire that really care about that. Going on, because recently, I don't know if it was the New Hampshire Supreme Court or something, for some reason this rule got turned around where you used to not be able to see the what is it called when you get in trouble with
Lori
a job
list?
It's not that. No, the Lori list is not like public yet. No.
Oh.
It's you know, you've gotten in trouble with your job, so your record with the job. Well, they weren't making it public, the cops' disciplinary records.
Mm-hmm.
But now it is public, and because of that, it was figured out who this quote John Doe in a lawsuit was, and it was this guy. I already forgot his name, but the guy that Rob is calling in about. Mm. He was a current state rep, and apparently he got kicked off of being a state rep because people are mad enough about what he was doing. But it's just like to me, his job itself was worthy of being grossed out by him and not wanting to, you know, have him represent you and stuff. But I think most people are mad because allegedly when he was approached for some kind of misconduct by his, I guess Rob says it was his chief. Well, then he was like, if you, but the thing is, it's so unclear. I don't know if it's if you keep investigating me or what the if is, but he threatened his chief with, oh, I'm going to rape your wife in front of your kids, or maybe rape your wife and your kids. I don't remember, but Rob said it was that way, so maybe it's that way.
I mean, there's not a recording of that, is there?
There's nothing.
It's just,
nope.
So it's the police against the police?
Yeah, exactly. It's the police against the police.
I wouldn't trust any of them, actually.
And the other thing is, I don't think he should go to jail for that.
He probably has dirt
that,
on them.
Well, I don't know, because now they let it out. But so I already have said that I don't think Chris Cantwell should be in jail, and it's basically the same thing. He said, I'll have sex with your wife in front of your kids, and she'll like it, or something like that. Can I say that on the radio? Maybe. Yeah, you could say have sex with on the radio. See, I always ask, but now I'm the authority, so I don't know. I'm always asking Ian. But so... Anyways, Chris Cantwell said that to another Nazi. So it's Nazi on Nazi crime. Cop on cop crime is the same thing to me. Jeremy West from Australia. Jeremy, what's on your mind?
Hey, I'm calling in again. Oh, I wanted to say, first of all, that every time I call, it's so nice to hear Ian's voice answering, saying that you've called the LRN studio.
Oh. So I guess that probably happens when you call on the SIP line. That's really cool.
Oh, you don't think that happens? Okay, anyway.
I don't know, actually.
On the regular line.
I could be wrong. I don't know, but that is really fun. I like hearing his voice on, like, the commercials.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, so it's just him. He just says, hello, you've called the LRN studios. Someone will be with you just as soon as possible.
Aw, so cool.
But anyway, I'm calling in as the TikTok correspondent, giving voice to keyboard warriors. And someone, last week you were talking about...
Oh, it's me again.
Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, I said, oh, it's me again, is it?
No. Well, it was the team last week.
Oh,
you
okay.
were talking about the it's not an attack actually at all. You were talking about the non-binary person who wanted to add a vagina. They already had a penis, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe they call that an addictomy.
No.
And no, that's the other, if they already had a vagina and wanted a penis.
Yeah.
Anyway, but somebody commented and said, what happened was, not only did they want that, which I'm perfectly fine with if they find a way to pay for it on their own, but they forced the city government to pay for it, or?
Yeah, it was Ottawa, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, so somebody said, how about if, actually Chelsea, I should say the name. Chelsea said, how about if you want surgery and stuff paid for, let scientists and psychologists study you so we can learn more about people going through this. That sounds like a great idea to me, that people can get it paid for if they, not by governments, but if they let the scientists and psychologists study them, then they can get the scientists can pay for the surgery.
I think we just need people to push this to its craziest logical extent, which is, you know, there's, oh, I identify this way. I'd like to represent myself this way in public. I think it'd be great if it's like just a bunch of women went into the city government. They're like, yeah, I identify as a woman with big breasts. Can I get like implants? And like guys go in and be like, yeah, I identify as like a big muscled jock. Can I get a bunch of hormones and go, you know, get bulked up and stuff. Like, we just need people to take it to its logical. We could all get stuff out of this. I mean, you know, you have a little too much hair, you want to get some hair removal, be like, yeah, I identify as a guy who doesn't have hair on my back, you know, like, what?
So a problem
you're
with
absolutely right, because I don't agree with, you know, government funding or whatever, but if we can steal that money to just better ourselves instead of having them spend it on dropping bombs on brown people on the other side of the world, then let's move all the funding to that.
One more thing, if I could say this, that's interesting about this is the British healthcare system has some mechanism, because I've read about this, because they pay for everything, by which women go and complain and to get plastic surgery.
Really?
Yeah.
complain?
Yeah, it's not. Well, I mean, they have to like petition for it in some way.
Like just being like, I'm so ugly or what?
I don't know what the thing is, but it's provided by their it's not out of pocket. Although if they're wealthy, they can just go to a country and get it. But because it's a national healthcare system, like how do you get like cosmetic surgery done? And so, like, I've read articles where, yeah.
So they can't just pay for it themselves.
Yeah, they're, like, complaining. They're like, oh, I had to wait this long to get this cosmetic surgery done. That's totally elective, not like a burn victim or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there.
So the problem with...
I got to say, I don't believe in a government-funded healthcare system at all. I'm so glad that the Australian system is not the same as Canada or the UK, where you're not allowed to do private health. So here, there is a government system that everyone's automatically in, but there's also a private system. So for example, so you can have private health insurance or pay for it yourself.
And is there like a
get it straight away, not wait a year?
Oh yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, is there a big difference? Do people in Australia talk and say like, oh yeah, it's much better to use the private, you know? Do you hear about that a lot?
Huge. I would needed a colonoscopy and I was able to get straight in with private health insurance, but I had to wait like 6 months to get an appointment, to get a referral, to get something else if I was going to go through the public system.
At least you got your work done down under.
It's kind of interesting that you have those two systems side by side to where people can clearly see the difference and that they even hold on to the government one at all. But what were you going to say, Lori?
Yeah, yeah.
The problem with... funding research instead is that scientists aren't like millionaires. They're just some guys in a lab somewhere doing the work that they're told to do. Mm-hmm. And it's all funded by research grants given by the government mm-hmm. through taxpayer money. So then you're paying for the research and the surgery because that's also going to be funded by the same grants.
This is giving me like a little bit of a trip kind of because Sarah from New Mexico never calls in until the third hour, and now David, who also does the same thing, is calling in the second hour as well. Don't know why you guys are switching it up on me. You're not allowed to do that. David, what's on your mind?
Yo, Bonnie, your baby daddy. Well, I'll tell you, Bonnie, because I got a hot date tonight. I gotta hurry up and get on the radio so I can get on my hot date.
Ew, don't. Okay.
Is it with Sarah? Is that why she called early?
Bonnie, the little tiny tyrant, the mini mouse. You were about to tell me to don't do what?
Don't call me that.
Broke up, Bonnie, because you're always telling me what.
Oh my God!
She's the
slander.
She's the pint-sized pull pot.
The pint-sized pull pot. Oh, there you go. I like that.
I've got a whole list of them now. You inspired me.
Yeah, Ian loves this too now.
All right. Wait, Ian, what?
Ian loves this joke too now, and he was, I don't know if he thought of new ones, but he was laughing at the ones I told him about.
Oh, nice.
Cool. You should, you know what? I'm getting this vision right now for Bonnie and in all of those capacities that when you walk into the prison, you own the place and you start ordering those guards around. You do this, you do that, you do it.
You let my husband free now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish. This at the prison, it's so much worse. They're more like just messing with your emotions. They don't care about your time or your day. Like, it's not like there's some set amount of time I'm supposed to be there. It's like I show up and then when I want to leave, I can kind of just leave. But basically, like, say I get there and I want to leave at a certain time. So I'm like, okay, Ian, goodbye. Like, I'll talk to you later. I have to sit in a chair next to the door, wait until a prison guard feels like taking me out, like leading me all the way out. It's just
or taking you out. Those are two completely different things. Taking you and taking you out are like night and day, Bonnie.
Okay, well, taking me out of the prison, it's like it's so much worse. It's not just like in the other jail. It's like if I visited Ian at 8:30, but I needed to get out of there quickly, I could see him for a while and be like, okay, bye, and just walk out the jail myself. In this one, like, I have to go through all these doors and like, I have a stamp on my hand for no reason where I have to show the guy that I have this stamp on my hand.
A stamp? Really?
Yeah, it's a stamp that glows in the light that you put it under.
Is that stamp by chance possibly toxic chemicals that
I know, right?
Applying to your body?
That's what I was thinking. I was wondering that. All of the food that they sell there is toxic as well. Like, I was looking at it, I was like...
prove it. They can't force you. It's a violation of your human rights to force you to be stamped, tattooed with toxic chemicals in order to visit your loved ones, Bonnie.
Yeah, but all that's going to do is make
Can I ask, do they put that on, like after you've entered, so what, you can't re-enter? Or
I think it's just so that way, if somehow this woman who is leading me through all these doors has like a group of four, right? If somehow somebody who wasn't actually supposed to snuck in, which makes no sense. Like, where would I come from? It doesn't make any sense. If somehow I just snuck into the line and now I'm like, she didn't notice.
Well, let me ask you this. Have they ever checked you for that same thing as you're like leaving, or?
Yeah, they check you as you're leaving too. Oh, maybe that's why. So I know they know I'm not a prisoner when I'm leaving, but they check it when I'm going in too. So they check it when I'm going in two spots, and it takes forever too. And like this woman.
It have a certain shape on it too? Like,
yeah,
it's
like some sign. I don't know what it is.
Interesting. I bet I could like make a fake one and we could just like get everyone out of there. Oh, did I say that on the radio? Never mind.
Well, you'd have to be able to somehow stamp their hands with it. And apparently the guards that were watching the one time that I visited Ian, which was this past Sunday, don't really care. So me and Ian were just like holding hands and talking the whole time. And that guard never said anything. But one of the prisoners had told Ian that there's this one that when she's the prison guard watching us, she'll be like, hey. Well, the other one's a woman too.
Oh, okay.
And this one, like, she's kind of rude and she's definitely a dyke. I was like, okay, so if I get patted down, they're going to be like, it's fine, she's a woman. But she's, okay, maybe I shouldn't say that word. She's obviously a lesbian, the butch kind. I don't know if dyke is actually offensive.
Wow, first the F word, and now dyke and lesbian? Wow.
Lesbian is not
offensive. Wait a minute, there's something very important. When this little Dutch boy stuck his finger in the dyke, just exactly what the hell was going on?
I want to basically get to at least the point of this guy's opinion piece about Ethan Crumbly's parents getting sent to jail for the crime that their son committed. Well, he says, locking up parents so irresponsible seems just. The truth may be more complicated. Quote, a lot of prosecutors are prosecuting people in circumstances that show something like civil negligence, not criminal negligence, unquote. That's Joshua Kleinfield, professor of criminal law at Northwestern University and a lawyer for Northwestern's Juvenile Criminal Defense Clinic.
I'd feel a lot better if it was a civil case, you know, like a wrongful death or something like that, than you know, a criminal one. Yeah,
that'd be fine. Yeah, if they wanted to individually sue.
Yeah.
So the parents about, of the kids who died, you know.
A lot of prosecutors already do that with what you're saying, civil, but it doesn't really happen with this with criminal cases. So
because it shouldn't.
Yeah, it shouldn't. I don't even know if this should happen civilly, but at least I don't think they should be found guilty. Maybe they could try, but I'm sure a jury would help them do that civilly too. Actually, wait, they kind of already did because I remember the parents of the dead kids in the Connecticut shooting, the big one.
Sandy Hook.
Yep. They won money for a civil suit against the manufacturer of the gun. Not the parents of the guy who shot their kids, but the manufacturer.
Shouldn't
of the gun.
They also sue Alex Jones, maybe?
Mm-hmm. That's the whole like
for saying stuff.
Yeah, billions of dollars.
Words, I don't know.
Quote unquote, like forfeited or whatever in that. Not forfeited, but fined in that case. The only thing that makes me like, or not the only thing, one thing that makes me really disappointed in that whole case is like Alex Jones went on to be like, I shouldn't have said those things and I'm sorry to anyone I offended, but this isn't right. No, you should. I mean, this is just what I think he should do, but I just feel like why even apologize? Like you should say whatever you think that you need to say.
I heard a break in the audio for a second.
Oh, yeah, but you should say whatever you want to say to the public, and their feelings shouldn't, you know, guarantee them any money from you for saying it. It's crazy. So this guy says that meeting the standard of criminal culpability and its dire punitive consequences typically requires a higher level of mens rea, or a guilty mind. For example, tossing a cinder block from a high window onto a packed street demonstrates an active indifference to the value of human life. As several criminal law professors point out, simply making a gun available to one's son doesn't meet the standard. But, I mean, the thing about it is, most people in the jury would read that paragraph and their eyes would gloss over it. It's not like they understand anything about law, I mean, to be at the point of being like a lawyer, obviously not, but even just like the average person on the street wouldn't even be able to understand what I just said. I'm not trying to call everybody stupid, but it's just like the people that get picked on to get on these juries are literally selected by the prosecution to be the least intelligent and the least informed about things because it helps them.
You know, I'll tell you an interesting thing. This is a story from TJ.
TJ the Spy?
Yes, TJ the Spy. So he had to serve on jury duty, which he felt was happy about at the time. He's like, it's my duty and I get to help him, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, before he was even a libertarian?
Yeah, although, I mean, honestly, so I think a lot of libertarians would like to serve on it because they could do the right thing. But in any case...
yeah, but he was probably doing it for the right thing, but it was probably not really the right thing back when he was a Democrat.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
And in the last segment, you were telling us a story about another person who sometimes does the show with us, TJ the Spy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a, I think, fan favorite because I'm a fan and he's my favorite. I love TJ. And he comes and does the show sometimes. Well, you were talking about how years and years ago, because you are his ex-lover from Missouri, you used to live with him.
I mean, you know, I thought we said we wouldn't talk about that on the... No, I'm just kidding.
Well, anyways.
I lived at his house for a while, so yeah. But,
so he was gonna... He got selected for jury duty.
Yes, yeah. So he was selected for jury duty, and I don't know exactly why it was the case, but they weren't just criminal things. They were civil things, because you have a way to get a jury trial for certain types of civil things. And it was this case where, like, a trucker at the local truck stop had bumped into another truck, and they were, like, suing the one guy for damages or whatever. And, like, nobody was hurt or anything like that. But in any case, the lawyer for the – we'll call them the defense, but that's not the word. It's the plaintiff and the whatever. I get them backwards. When they were doing the voir dire for the jury and going through, so it's a civil case, right, which means it's preponderance of the evidence, which means it's 50%, not proof beyond a reasonable doubt, which is like, you know, 100% or 99%. So the I'll call them the defense, was going to each one of the jurors and saying –
it's the plaintiff and the defendant, even
if it is the defendant.
Sense.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was, but I wasn't sure off the top of my head. Was going to them and asking them during the questioning part, which they call voir dire – or people say voyeur dire, whatever, different pronunciations. Do you feel that, you know, how guilty do you feel that the person would need to be or at fault in order to find, you know, to find them at fault or find them guilty or whatever? And the people were like, well, I feel like it'd have to be like more than 50, blah, 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 and things like that. Because they were just like confused, like they didn't know it was a civil trial and they didn't understand anything. And so they're like, well, I wouldn't want to find him, you know, guilty if it was just like only 50%. But that's actually the burden. So the lawyer was able to kick off everybody in the jury pool.
Including TJ?
No, he would have answered it correctly, but to where there weren't enough jurors to have on a jury. And what that did is then the it was a county, I think. The county had to go out and get more people. But in the meantime, he's racked up the costs on the other side because they're paying their lawyer by the hour to be there. And so it was basically a tactic to force them into negotiating again so they could just negotiate something and not hold the actual trial.
That's
so but the interesting thing is, if you think about that, like that question, how guilty do you think you'd have to find this person to let them off?
What is 50% guilty?
Well, because essentially,
well, I mean, I guess
insurance
can determine that based on specific things, but
so it's a civil thing. It's not the immense powers of a government that can take your life and throw you away for forever. Mm-hmm. It's basically two people having a disagreement, right? And so it's just as bad if you find the one party guilty as if you find the other one not guilty, right? Does that make sense? Like if you and I had a dispute over like $1,000 and I said that, you know, you owed it to me and you said you didn't. Well, if we go, let's say they find it and they find that you do owe it to me. Well, then that, you know, that'd be right. But if they said that they didn't, but the opposite was the truth, then you'd be screwed, right? Like one of the two parties is going to get screwed in that. So you can't put either one of them above the other. Mm-hmm. So when you find the, I'm going to use the word guilt, but that's not the right word.
So what you're saying is it's somebody, both sides have something at stake, unlike in a criminal thing.
Yeah, the government has nothing to lose. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Like,
yeah. So anyways, they use
I don't know if the audience understood what we were saying.
Okay,
so like,
yeah.
In a criminal case, like, you are getting charged with something. The people on the, quote, other side, the prosecution, the only thing they have to lose is, oh, you know, they get an L instead of a W on their record. And it's not remotely the same as you risking going to prison for years or whatever it is.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So,
it's really unfair.
But the interesting thing, the point I'd like to get at is, you know, if you have these people there and they don't even understand that just because one side's the plaintiff and one's the defendant, that neither one of them is more owing of being right or wrong. So an interesting thing is most juries think that the mere fact, now I'm talking about a criminal case, that the mere fact that you're there means you must have done something wrong.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great tactic. If anybody wanted to defend themselves, they could just go in and during voir dire, ask each one of the persons, like, now, do you feel that the client must have done something wrong to be here today? And just get everybody kicked off the jury.
I don't know if that necessarily can get them all kicked off, because in Ian's case, there were people on the jury that said, yeah, I would think if somebody had, like, the question was basically, if somebody has a lot of charges, would you be more likely to think they're probably guilty of something than if they only have, like, one charge? And there were people on the jury that said, yeah, I would think they'd be more likely to be guilty.
Yeah,
and
did any of those people get kicked
that's
off?
That's what I'm telling you. It doesn't necessarily get them kicked
off.
Well,
I mean, you were there and you saw that that was or wasn't the case, or...
I'm telling you, there were people on the jury who said that. So that obviously didn't get them kicked off.
Yeah, well, maybe the issue wasn't pressed enough.
Yeah, but that's the
other that might even be able to be an issue that could be brought
up. Not if you didn't object to it.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
Which is, like, so stupid.
But by the way, I mean, I think this is also an interesting point just for anybody who's listening to think about. You have people who basically already think you're guilty just because you're there. So how in the world do we have an actual justice system?
Yeah, because, tons of people actually believe that if you get... charged with something, you must be guilty of something. Like, tons of people said, if not to my face, like one girl, then like behind my back, and I heard about it later. Tons of people in my life, like outside of New Hampshire, had said, oh, well, Bonnie's husband obviously is guilty of something because the FBI raided her house. Like, why else would that happen? Or boyfriend at the time.
Yeah, governments have never just gone after people for nothing before.
Lori has a story about a judge who said the Second Amendment doesn't exist in his courtroom.
This article is from redstate.com. It's New York City man convicted over gunsmithing hobby after judge says Second Amendment doesn't exist in this courtroom. A Brooklyn man has been convicted of 13 weapons charges after having been arrested and charged in 2022 for building his own firearms. Dexter Taylor's ordeal could become a landmark Second Amendment case in light of the Bruin ruling handed down in the same year. The jury found Taylor guilty of second-degree criminal possession of a loaded weapon, 4 counts of third-degree criminal possession of a weapon, 5 counts of criminal possession of a firearm, second-degree criminal possession of 5 or more firearms, unlawful possession of pistol ammunition, violation of certificate of registration, prohibition of unfinished frames or receivers.
Wait, so he made a fake registration for it or something? I don't know. That's
violation
kind
of certificate of registration. I'm guessing they just were unregistered guns because he made them.
Okay.
2 lesser charges, including third-degree criminal possession of 3 or more firearms and third-degree possession of a weapon, were not voted on.
Was this all state charges?
It's in New York. So.
But what does that mean they weren't voted on? Because it's up in the Supreme Court, so that's it's the Supreme Court of New Hampshire. New York.
I believe New York is a grand jury state. So
but they don't vote either.
Well, I mean, I'm speaking. I really don't know, but I think that the grand jury is responsible for bringing the charges. So essentially, the grand jury has to vote that there's enough evidence to even bring those charges.
We don't want to.
Yeah.
Mess with those 2 charges because they already had all the big ones and these were lesser charges.
Let me double check that. But go ahead.
Taylor, a 52-year-old New York native and a software engineer, discovered the world of gunsmithing years ago. He decided to take it up as a hobby and possibly turn it into a business later. However, when a joint ATF-NYPD task force discovered he was legally buying parts from various companies, they opened up an investigation that led to a SWAT raid and arrest.
It's so crazy that you... legally buying things that could be used in a crime is, it's just totally wrong that it's possible that there are people investigating you for that.
Yeah, you can buy all these parts. That's totally fine. Don't put them together, though.
Yeah.
They only have this one use, but don't put them together for the one use that they have, or else that's illegal.
So, to answer that question, yeah, New York does do grand juries, and then as I'm searching for it right here, I'm actually seeing...
I don't think that usually you say...
I actually see an article here related to a Donald Trump thing where it says, what is a grand jury? Here's who voted to indict Donald Trump. So they're calling it voting. I guess it's not a night, you know, it's not like a regular jury because it's just the bringing of the charges. So they probably don't have to have, you know, all 12 or six or what. I think it's just like maybe half of the jury, grand jury, has to say yes.
If something goes to a grand jury and they do not decide to pursue the charges, that is never unveiled. So I don't think that we would have this in that article. That's the only thing. So if the grand jury didn't vote to bring charges against Ian,
I think there's a recommendation by a prosecutor to the grand jury.
No, I think this is a thing that is like a thing with grand juries. Like it doesn't become unsealed if it doesn't actually happen. I mean, maybe that's a New Hampshire thing.
But the thing with Ian was federal.
Well. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe it's a federal thing. But this is a conversation like we've had on the show with like Ian.
Yeah, well, this is the state of New York. So it's, you know, it's different. Maybe they release everything that the person was going to be, you know, charged with. And then they release what? I don't know.
I don't know. Seems dumb.
But anyway.
So the article continues. He is currently being jailed on Rikers Island as he awaits sentencing. Taylor's conviction highlights the ongoing battle for gun rights. During an interview with Vinu Varghese, Taylor's defense lawyer, he detailed how Taylor's trial proceeded and highlighted a distinct bias in favor of the prosecution. Varghese described how Taylor became fascinated by weapon science during the COVID-19 lockdowns, which inspired him to take up his gunsmithing hobby. He ended up building, I believe it was 8 pistols and 5 rifles or 6 rifles, AR-style rifles, and then 8 or 9 Glock pistols that he built. In an interview prior to his conviction, Taylor told Red State, I found out that you can actually legally buy a receiver and you can machine that receiver to completion and you can buy your parts and you can put them together and you've got a pistol or a rifle. And once I saw that, I was hooked. It says Varghese said he had filed the appropriate paperwork to preserve these arguments for appeal, but the judge rejected these arguments and she went out of her way to limit me. During the trial, the prosecution attempted to paint Taylor as a dangerous individual who was building dangerous firearms in his basement. In this vein, the prosecution objected to allowing Taylor's family in the courtroom to show support.
Wow, what?
Nor did they allow his upstairs neighbor who knew about Taylor's hobby to testify on his behalf.
I can't believe that they can even... I don't know if the judge allowed it, but I can't believe that the prosecution can even object. I guess you can object to anything, but I've never heard of them objecting.
The judge allowed it.
I mean, all of these little rules that they... Or
but
things that they're
rule.
Able to do... No. What I'm trying to say is they do have reasons for why they might want to do that at any particular point in time that are, like, let's say, reasonable reasons. But what's happening is all the judges in states like New York are complete political hacks now. Completely just doing whatever they can to get these outcomes. Like, they don't care about this guy and his innocence or not innocence. And they don't even care about the law. They just want to, like, have a victory in the media that they can point to. You know, they want to also have a chilling effect. They're trying to get things done that they can't do, like, legislatively. Like, they couldn't get this law passed. So they just want to make it basically de facto illegal by having sham trials. That's what's going on in New York, just across the board with all sorts of other stuff, even like the Trump stuff that's going on right now.
And then also, people don't read news stories, they read headlines. So yep. they'll see a yep. story, man arrested for building guns, and then everybody in New York is going to be like, well, you can't build guns here.
Exactly. That's
oh,
really...
Oh, well, the Second Amendment doesn't apply here.
Yeah. No, that's really all part of it. That's exactly the effect they're going for. It's all a war for your mind. It's all like a psyop, essentially.
Varghese described the prosecutor's opening statement. He opens up and he says that Mr. Taylor has a parade of horror. He was building this horrible place. when he saw this horror that he was making under the noses of his neighbors because all of those guns intended to hit their targets, basically implying that he was going to do some harm with these things.
Well, so it was like thought crime too, and like anytime there the prosecution starts talking about like, oh, what could have happened, like I feel like the other lawyers need to object and be like, well, you're bringing up something that like it's not hearsay, it's something else. It's like, oh, a hypothetical. Yes, yeah. It's make believe. But I feel like there's actually a word for like a hypothetical. Like it didn't actually happen. So why are we talking about that in this case about what he did do? What he did like admit
like
to
a
doing?
False narrative.
Yeah,
they're just implanting all these scary thoughts into the jurors' heads.
This could have happened.
Yeah, in the hopes that they'll be scared.
Mm-hmm.
When Varghese countered this narrative during his opening statement, the judge interrupted him again. There's no crime here. There's no allegation of violence, Varghese recounted, saying, I got up and said, you're going to learn what Dexter is, who he is. You're going to learn that he never fired these guns. The judge interrupted again and asked the lawyers to come to her chambers for the second time. Varghese explained that he had believed the only chance of having the case go in his client's favor was through jury nullification, which occurs when members of a jury believe a defendant violated a law but decide against prosecuting them because they disagree with the law itself or other reasons. Judge Darke attempted to shut this argument down and led the jury to believe that they would face consequences if they did not vote to convict Taylor.
What? So I would have thought that in New York, like, you just straight up can't say, like, we're going for a jury nullification angle. Like, I would have thought that because I'm pretty sure in some states, like, the defense can't even do that. Well, maybe it's just that you can't say the words jury nullification during the trial, like, to the jury, and they were just talking in the chambers then. But so I'm just kind of surprised that the defendant's lawyer just said that to the judge. But then on top of that, I'm surprised that the judge can tell the jury how to rule, because what's the point of the jury?
Yeah, I don't think he said jury nullification to the jury. He just
said to the judge.
Yeah, he said it to the judge because they pulled him into chambers because he was like, well, this guy didn't actually do anything wrong, mm-hmm. and was hoping that the jury would nullify on their own.
But then the judge goes like, no, none of that. And then instructs the jury basically that they have to convict him,
mm-hmm.
and that there'd be consequences. Is that what he said? If they don't, or she said?
She said there would be consequences, or led them to believe there would be consequences if they didn't.
Yeah. That is so bad.
Wouldn't that be like jury tampering?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's the judge. They do whatever they want.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the rules of the courtroom. I mean, the judge just makes up the rules.
That's true.
Well, actually, you know what's interesting is what this is actually going against is a legal tradition that goes back to, gosh, like 16-something. It has to do with essentially the right of juries. And so back in England, there were some cases against some people, and the jury came back and said not guilty, and the judge said no, and kept sending them and saying you have to come back and find them guilty.
Wait, are you thinking of the one in America that was about slaves?
No. That's different. Those people
that was
later. Yeah. Mm. But this is where they established that right, mm. that basically what happens in the jury's chambers, you know, are not questionable by the judge. The judge can't question why they've decided to find guilty, or I mean, they can say that the jury didn't understand with a guilty, but they can't do that with an innocent. They can't say you found them innocent and know you're wrong.
Hmm.
And that goes back to I think it's related to William Penn, literally the founder of Pennsylvania, him and his father and legal cases they had in England. So you're talking about a like 400-year-old tradition that this judge in New York is trying to throw out.
Were you taught, either of you, taught economics in school, like in grade schools?
No.
Me neither.
I think like very basic, like supply and demand. That's it.
So my daughter, my oldest daughter is 5, and I read her The Creature of Jekyll Island the other night. And I think that should be compulsory reading for children. People should read that to their kids.
What does the tiny tyrant say? Should that be compulsory on Free Talk Live?
I did have a like rogue teacher. He was just like my 10th grade history teacher. And we were, well, not really me, because I thought he was cool. But the other students were always complaining, like, he didn't even go over any of the actual material. He just like rants to us. And then we were all failing the tests and stuff. And he told us about the creature from Jekyll Island and like talked about it a lot. He didn't like make us read it, because I guess you couldn't do that. But he just like wouldn't talk about the subjects and would just ramble about, not, I don't think he was rambling, it was really interesting to me. He would just talk about
actually teaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would talk about quote unquote conspiracy theories like that. And everybody knew him as like the conspiracy theory teacher. I don't know how, like, if he had like some kind of serious tenure or something like that. I have no idea how he was allowed to do that.
I had a teacher like that. Not he wasn't even extreme. I just remember him saying some things. I'm like, oh, that's not part of the actual history plan. What are you doing, buddy? Like he made, and it was just like a couple of little comments here and there. One was he said, oh yeah, this stuff happened with the Great Depression and FDR and all this, these works programs and all that sort of stuff. Of course, some people think that that actually made the Depression last longer. And I'm like, whoa, because I knew all of that stuff as a young kid, but I was like, oh, you're breaking the script here, man. Like, should I like report you, you know? Not literally, but you know, for fun, just saying that.
Yeah, but what you're saying is like most public schools would want them to teach that was helpful, what
yeah.
the government was
oh,
doing
yeah,
during
yeah.
it was
absolutely.
Helpful.
Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing looking back at all of the stuff that I was taught. And I can actually say, like, over the years, it's gone from, oh, they didn't teach me the things that they should have taught me, or they didn't teach me well enough, to now I'm at the point when I look back at everything I could possibly remember in school, I'm like, they actually taught me crap.
Like lies. Mm-hmm.
Lies. Completely yeah. untrue things, you know.
I was talking to Stu about that the other night, just the other night, about how they taught a long time ago in school that your blood was blue, and that's why your veins look blue.
I only learned this from Lori.
Here's one.
That's not true.
Stop, drop, and roll. That is the dumbest thing. That does not work. I did that.
Really?
I was on fire one time. I stopped, dropped, and I rolled. And I and like
really?
Afterwards, I'm like, that is completely retarded. How would that ever stop me from being on fire?
Well,
no.
Wait, what happened when you tried it?
You're just on fire and rolling around.
Yeah,
you
just the
really
parts of
fire?
You that are not on the ground are
yeah.
on fire.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's not going to, it depends, you know, there's
How
nothing.
How did you stop being on fire?
The fire burnt out.
What was it, your clothes?
It wasn't even on my clothes. I don't know how, but there was a liquid that had gotten onto my legs that was flammable, and I was wearing shorts, and so my skin was actually on fire.
I'm sorry.
And I'm like rolling around on the ground, and I'm like, oh, that's what you do. And I mean, you know, I would never do that now. I would have taken my shirt off and just, you know.
You know, that kind of reminds me of, I hadn't really thought about that with stop, drop, and roll, because I've never been on fire, but one thing I thought of is like this cop when he heard the acorn hit the top of the car next to him, he literally got on his knees, and he was like fat and old. He got on his knees and did a barrel roll. All that did was like make him a easier target to shoot for a
moving
second.
Time.
Yeah. And like
less coordinated, less, you know, yeah.
And then he had to get back up on his legs. He's like, ugh. You know, getting back up on his legs and then running away when that whole time he could have been running. He was probably trained that he, I don't know, like somebody probably put in his head at one point that that's a good idea, a good maneuver to do. When
I hope he doesn't have kids. So they don't have to see that and like have all their friends see that that's their dad. And like,
I thought you were saying you hope he doesn't have kids so that way like
well,
that too. He didn't reproduce.
That too. But like, I hope for his imaginary children that they don't exist.
Well,
that is the best thing to do, is to just ridicule.
I know, yeah.
I mean, like you know, I mean, to a certain degree, we can make all these arguments about, you know, facts and logic and all that sort of stuff, and we can point to historical examples of when people have been free, because there's plenty of them. I found that every single thing that anything we say, like, oh, you could privatize this or privatize that or do that, each and every one of those things has been tried somewhere to great success, and sometimes many of them have been tried. You've never gotten the whole entire you know, full anarchist voluntarist thing anywhere. What was I going with this?
Put them all on the stocks and laugh at them.
Yeah, the laughing. I mean, we could do the arguments with the logic and the facts, and you should do that, but then you also need to have like a really healthy amount of ridicule.
One story that I did have here says that consumer prices rose 3.5% from a year ago in March, which is more than expected. So yeah, consumer prices are inflating. That's what inflation is. It's the inflation of the price that you're paying.
I'm shocked that it's only 3.whatever%.
Oh, we've just touched on a topic I love.
Because they lie.
The CP lie, actually.
What's
the
CP?
Okay. Well, there's the CPI, Consumer Price Index. Oh. But a lot of people call it the CP lie.
Hmm.
And there's another joke out there which goes, yeah, I wish I knew what they actually use for determining in the basket that they use to determine, because I'd like to buy that. They're like, my prices have gone up more than that.
Yeah.
So can
what
you
do
please
you mean buy the basket?
Oh, so they determine how much the prices have gone up by creating what they call a basket of goods. So they'll go out, they'll look at like, okay, some milk and some, you know, like electronics and this and that and some books. And then they'll do like kind of an average and they'll say, oh, on average, all of the consumer products have gone up by this certain amount. But everybody in their life is like, no, everything has gone up by way more than that. Where are you shopping for this basket? We want to buy the basket.
It's just full of like ramen noodles and Cadbury eggs.
Oh, in fact, this is another thing. They change what's in the basket over time. So it's not even held the same. And they'll do things where they say, oh, it's different. Like, okay, so this new phone, it actually is, you know, it was 800 a year ago, and now the new phones are 1,000. But the new phones have more features, so really, you're paying less. That's one of the tricks they'll do. Another trick that they do is they'll say, oh, Americans have stopped buying steak and they've started buying like ground beef more. And instead of recognizing, oh, that's because the price of steak has gone up and Americans can't afford it because, you know, they're you know, poor because of the inflation.
Steak is obviously better than ground beef.
Yeah, they'll say, oh, people are just choosing to eat more steak, ground beef. So they'll change the basket and then say, oh, so now people have had a savings. And another thing that doesn't get captured at all is the... How do I want to word this? The lack of durability in goods. So I have the example.
Planned obsolescence.
That's related, but I'll just give the example that's true in my own life. Like my parents bought a set of buzzers, hair buzzers, and they were at a certain price. And then they had a set that was my grandma's. And if you look at the price is probably the same. It would have been like $50, you know, back in, I don't know, 1950. And this one was $50 in like the year 2000. But the one that was in the year 2000 broke within a couple of years. I'm still using my grandma's buzzers. So if you take $50 and you divide it by 5 years versus you take it and you divide it by 50 years, obviously the one product is way more expensive than the other one on a per year usage. So that's not taken into account either. So the CPI is just complete. Oh, and also they take out, they call it the core CPI, doesn't even include food and energy. So even though I was talking about food a minute ago, that's not even part of it.
I think food is probably the thing that went up the most.
And it's important to people.
It's the most,
you need
important
to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. They do kind of the same thing, like on a magnified scale, I think. During like Black Friday sales and stuff like that, if you read people's reviews of what they bought on Black Friday, it like falls apart. It basically immediately they buy it and then it's broken. And I think that they're taking these things that are sold at these cheap prices and making them even worse than they already were, which is a feat within itself. I might be crazy conspiracy theorist, but I think so. I think that that's actually they make them worse for those sales.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I could totally see that being a thing. So one thing about this story here about the prices raising, it says that shelter and energy costs drove the increase. So wait, were you saying energy is not?
They have a couple of different numbers. There's the core CPI and then there's another number. And I forget all of the little details. I mean, like at some point you do enough research into this stuff and you realize it's just a complete lie and hoax. And you're like, why do I even care to remember this? It's like, if these people are intent to lie that much, what's the point? But there is a core and then there's these other things. But the... And also the media is complicit in this too, because they will just take that headline number and report it, even though almost every single month that they reported for the past, like, I don't know, 5 years, when they did a revision like a month or so later, they increased the numbers on all of this
That's
stuff.
That's weird, though.
Yeah,
they never report,
hey, they lied and it's higher.
They start out saying like, oh, it was 3.25, and then a month later they'll be like, it's 3.5, and then a month later they'll be like, it was 3.7, you're all just remembering it wrong?
Yeah, and the same thing with unemployment numbers, too.
Listen to this. So the headline says consumer prices rose 3.5%. This key points thing that I read to you, it says shelter and energy costs drove the increase. Energy rose 1.1%. And then I go down to like this third paragraph here and it says excluding volatile food and energy components. So what? Like it's all just like, is this purposely written to be confusing?
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.